This podcast is presented by Student Ministry Publishing of Lifeway Christian Resources, Biblical Solutions for Life.
Welcome to another episode of Studies with Life Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Alice Stegeman. We are in Unit 3 of the winter quarter in our Bible study materials for the month of February. I'd like to welcome once again our guest host for this unit, Allie Claxton. How are you doing today, Allie?
It's a good day. Thank you.
Yes, it is. We are in the middle of the unit called The Battle for the Mind. And today we're going to be discussing the Bible study for the week of February the 14th, Valentine's Day. That doesn't happen too often that it falls on Sunday. And the title of this lesson is called Advance. The life question is, how can I pursue the mind of Christ? The biblical truth is, believers with the mind of Christ experience Christ-like changes in their goals, understanding, and spiritual maturity. The Bible passage is Philippians 3, verses 2 through 15, and then chapter 4, verse 8, and the key verse is Philippians 4, 8. The learning goals we want to consider is to help students think like Jesus by recognizing false teachers and maturing spiritually as a result of a personal relationship with Christ. As we look at how we want to answer that question, how can I pursue the mind of Christ? Point number one is, don't depend on your religious past. And this comes from Philippians 3, verses 2 through 6. What did you see in these verses?
Well, I was immediately drawn to this concept of confidence in the flesh, and I sort of did a word study and thought through, what does that really mean? And pride and self-reliance sort of came to the surface,
right.
this idea that it's about us. It's about our religious abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked back at, you know, Paul says with, you know, a great bit of passion, watch out, you know, be careful, be cautious, be aware that there are people out there who are, you know, they're putting their confidence in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that are motivated by this spiritual pride.
Mm-hmm.
They're trusting in their own efforts and they're placing burdens of expectations on those around them. And he's even specifically referring to the Judaizers at this time that were placing a yoke or a burden on the Gentiles that Jesus had already taken away. And so, you know, these were the people that were really out of pride and arrogance and this, you know, this sense of spiritual self-righteousness. They were putting a yoke on those around them. And so it was an interesting way to start this passage, because I thought, man, if you're going to tell somebody to be careful and watch out, that's the very thing. You know, we don't always think about being cautious of those who seem religious and seem spiritual and seem to be doing the right thing. But Paul is saying, you know, here's the one thing that you're probably going to trip over if you're not aware of the danger.
And, you know, we don't think about teenagers having that much of a past because they're still very young, but especially teenagers have grown up in church and they have maybe they accepted Christ at a young age. Even in their teens, they may start to kind of get complacent about their spiritual life and oh, well, I've been a Christian most of my life. I can just rest on that and not really worry about anything else.
Right. Well, and I also, you know, I think, goodness, what a great reminder to us that many, many times we assume doing the right thing is the goal, and the goal is about the heart. And that's Paul's point here, is that, you know, pride can mask itself in a lot of different ways, but it's really about the heart. And, you know, if we're going to grow and we're going to depend on the Holy Spirit to, you know, to be the focus and the power by which we grow and are stretched and become more like Him, then we can't rely on our past or even the things that we're doing right now.
Right.
It's all about a heart longing to please and honor Him.
Yeah, I think especially in American Christianity, there's that tendency to think about all the things we do, you know, doing the right things, being part of the right routine, going to church the right number of times each week, and going to the right places instead of all the external things instead of the heart.
Right.
Then point two is, as we answer the question, how can I pursue the mind of Christ? Make it your goal to know Jesus more and more. And this comes from Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11.
Oh, I just loved this section of scripture. I think it's got just some beautiful imagery in it. And, you know, I walk away from it just over and over playing in my mind that nothing compares to the invitation to know Jesus Christ personally. Nothing compares to that. And when you look at the way he words it in both the NIV and the Holman, he says in the NIV, "Everything, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ." And in the Holman, it says the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And I just think that if we can start to get our minds around that, then our hearts will start to beat faster after that very goal, because that's our passion. You know, it's not about doing the right things. It's about a heart connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's just nothing that compares to that.
Well, you know, I think it's great that the thought is here that it's not either you know Christ or you don't. It's you know Christ, you come to know him, but then you can know him even more and more. You know, there's a progression there. And that's really exciting when you think about that. As much as we feel like we know him now, there's the possibility of knowing him even more.
Yes.
And then that leads us into verse 3, which is to pursue, point 3, that we pursue a mature way of thinking. And this comes from Philippians 3, verses 12 through 15, and then verse 4-8.
I like that Paul starts this section off in verse 12, and he kind of lays the groundwork. Not that I've already obtained all this, not that I've got everything figured out. And I appreciate that from a guy like Paul, because he kind of comes across as if he has figured it all out in some places. And he's certainly a man who has followed the Lord through some, you know, some interesting adventures, and has seen the Lord's power through his ministry and through his life. And so, you know, I really appreciated the fact that he says, you know, this side of heaven, we're not going to have it all figured out, but here are some things that you need to know in this journey. And so he goes on to say, you know, forgetting what is behind, forgetting our past. And I, when I thought about that, and there's a tendency to say, well, you know, forget the past means that, you know, you never think about it again. And I really literally think that he's saying to let go of it if it's a hindrance to us. And certainly this was a guy that his past was would have been a pretty big roadblock for him, having been you know, a man who in essence had ridiculed and chastised and even was standing there when Stephen was put to death because of their faith in Christ. And so here's a man who had done, you know, an absolute turnaround in his, you know, after coming to know Jesus Christ. And so if anybody wanted to forget their past, it would have been him because it had been a huge roadblock. But I think what he's saying here is, don't forget the lessons. Don't forget the grace. I mean, the incredible grace that drew him from where he used to be to where he is as he's writing this. Don't forget that, because that is all about the glory of God. That's all about the bigness of God and his character and his perfect grace and his perfect compassion. But what you don't need to do is hold on to a weight or a yoke that's going to keep you from running hard after the things that God has called you to. So I just really liked the imagery in this. And then when I shifted over to chapter 4, verse 8, and which we all love and know this, you know, this whole section of scripture, and we think about what is it that I dwell on? And I really had to stop and consider the power of influence. And everything that we dwell on, we give the right to speak into our lives. Everything that we soak up, we basically are opening a door and saying, you know, I'm giving you the opportunity to speak, whether it's good or bad, I'm opening the door and inviting you in. And so I had to consider, even from my personal journey, what is it that I soak up? What is it that I dwell on? What am I given the power of influence in my life, in my own journey with the Lord? And obviously his word and his spirit are the standard by which everything that we see and everything that we think about has to be held up against. And so, as you know, as I looked at that list, you know, of what to dwell on, what to think about, and what to consider and what to hold on to, Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about the fact that when we see and hear the world through the lens of Christ, then we have that filter and we know what to let go of and what to hold on to, what to cling to.
Mm-hmm. And one caution, I think, for our leaders here, because you may have that student that really likes to find the controversy in the verses and want to be argumentative and that kind of thing. There's a possibility somebody may latch on that word true, mm-hmm. and may say, well, I watch, violent movies and all this kind of stuff, but it's true. I mean, that's reality. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with watching reality? And so you need to be prepared for that argument, and that this word true means a lot more than just whether something that's not false,
yeah.
than reality. We're talking about truth in the terms of God's truth, and something that is of value and is purposeful and all those other things that that can really help build up a life and not tear it down. So I just want to caution you that you might possibly get that kind of an argument. Another thing I thought about as you were talking about Paul and the way he was saying to let go of his past and everything. If we go back to our first passage that we discussed, he was talking about leaving behind good things in his life, you know, leaving behind his all the things that he might could commend himself about, you know, the mm-hmm. the fact that he had grown up with a religious background. And so this particular passage, though, in chapter 3 is talking about letting go of the bad stuff. So it's like you got to let go of the good stuff, uh-huh. and you got to let go of the bad stuff,
right.
because both of those things can tie you down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we wrap up for today, our life question once again is, how can I pursue the mind of Christ? And the points you would like to drive home are, 1, don't depend on your religious past. 2, make it your goal to know Jesus more and more. And 3, pursue a mature way of thinking. There are additional free helps available at lifeway.com/myextra, and you'll find there some current news stories and a way to relate them to the sessions for this month, and also you'll find songs that can be downloaded that will support your teaching plan. Other links that are listed there are an email address to which you can send feedback to our Life Focus editorial staff, a link to our community on Ning at lifewayextra.ning.com, a link to our Twitter page at twitter.com/lifefocus, and a link to a survey that we would encourage you to complete at lifeway.com/lifefocussurvey. Thanks for listening. This is Alice Stegman. Hope to have you with us next week for another edition of Life Focus Podcast.